So both Perreault and Lowry will get looked at again this afternoon, kind of reassess where they're at. I won't have both of them going in at the same time. But they're both, you know, it was a full-on practice for them today, and which is a great sign.
You take a look at it, and we talked about it kind of going into this month, but you've got some breaks between games. You took yesterday away from the rink. How much of a bonus is that, not only to get the guys the break, but then when you come back to practice today?
Yeah, so we're moving better today, right? Like we had a real good event last night, and then they're talking on the ice and they're chirping. So there's a little more energy. The coaches, we just had one game in a 5-day block. Doesn't feel like we've done that in an awfully long time. You woke up this morning thinking it was game day. So there's a better energy on the ice. They drove harder through the drills, right? They're not quite as fatigued. So you just want to make sure they stay sharp and you want to capture all that energy you can.
About Vegas, I'm sure we'll talk more about them tomorrow, but just kind of a look ahead to what you expect from a team that we haven't seen in a while here.
They're on an incredible run. I think their game has kind of returned to where it was last year and the year before. They're back playing fast, put an awful lot of pucks. All their analytics have really taken off in the last 10-12 games, the run that they've been on. So they got a couple injuries to people, and they'll put a real strong team. So fast and physical and with some good hands.
Stay with that. I mean, when Gerard was fired, the talk was, what are they doing? Need your reaction. I think Pete's come in there, I think he's 12-3 or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
What have you, obviously pre-scouted the team, what have you seen from them?
They're just playing faster. So their attack is simplified, right? They're shooting more pucks. I don't really know what I can say about the change. They had a pretty good run of success. There's lots of confidence with the puck, and I don't know if boredom is the right word, but these guys got back to fast. So they are back playing the game that I think they played a couple years ago. It happens, right? They get in a bit of a rut, or not even a negative rut, a positive rut. They're winning some games. They know they got a good team. There's an 82-game schedule. Sometimes it's just a shakeup to get them fired back up and go, let's go fast again, and they've been good.
Is Pro an option for tomorrow then?
Yes.
So he would be?
He is an option, yeah.
And Adam said he's probably not.
I'm not putting both in at the same. So we had Pro slightly ahead of Lowry. I think that's continued. They're going to go get checked out by the doc here today, and we'll go from there.
Just one more. What's life like for a backup goal? I mean, I talked to Laurent, so.
Yeah.
But what is, I mean, from a coaching perspective, in this situation where he's probably not going to play a ton.
Yeah.
What's the life like for a backup?
It never really changes, right? You get usually the lousiest details. It's usually when you go in when the team's fatigued, because your number one's fatigued, your team's fatigued because you played a lot of games, so he gets that job. It's mentally tough because you get into an NHL game, it's not a B game because you're the backup goalie. You're going to see the same kind of shooter. So that mental toughness is built over time. And then we've got a slightly unusual situation. Normally what would have happened is he goes in, plays well against Ottawa, plays really good in Washington. So 5 out of 6 points, he's feeling good that we'd be sitting on 16 games coming up and we'd go right. This is actually a good thing. We got our backup goalie hot and we can run him and we should get some really fine goaltending through the month of March, 16 games. That would be the number 15, 16 games. And then we come to a March that we haven't seen before where we actually get quite a bit of rest here. We got one back-to-back the entire month. Four sets of double days off. It's really unusual. So there isn't then the... We'll have to make a decision in and around that Vancouver-Florida situation. Other than that, there's going to be enough rest for Connor that you don't want him out because you could put him in a position. He's your number one sitting too long between games. So it's a tougher situation for backup. The best thing that we can hope for is what we have right now. The next time he goes into the net, his last memory, he's played pretty darn well. So he's going in as confident he can be with more time off than he'd like.
After the last game, Paul, you were asked about Kyle Connor, and you referenced that game in 2018 against Caroline. Could you just expand on what it was that you saw in that game where you said it was kind of that aha moment regarding what he could do?
I'll try to explain it. A lot of nights in the NHL, you go out and work your absolute butt off and nothing happens. So you get a young guy that comes in, and his points are probably more than the games he's played in college or in junior, especially if you're making the NHL out of 1 or 2 years out of amateur hockey, you're a pretty darn skilled guy. So what's happened? You tore up the American League, or you tore up junior, and that's how you value your game. I get a point every night that I get out in the ice, and then you get to the NHL and it doesn't happen. So there's a whole bunch of other things that happen in an NHL game that are hard, and they're smart. Puck's got to get dumped that he's never had to dump before because that defenseman closes him off. The right play is back behind the net instead of looping, instead of fading to the outside and getting a pass because the defense is terrible in amateur hockey. That guy's sitting right on top. So now there's a big chunk of this game that and then you got to accept that. Do you have a job in that 80% of the game where nothing happens? Run your routes, be easy to play with. So he went into that game, and there was nothing in his game. There was no cheat. There was no over-anticipation. The game wasn't about points, right? He wasn't sliding out into open areas or banging his stick if he missed one. He just went out and worked his ass off. And then you're going, okay, just do that, and all the points are going to come, right? There it is. There's your template game that at the very least, you do that, you're going to help us win hockey games. And then you're going to score a bunch of points on top of those games, and you're going to be a great player. Yeah, that's 2 years ago, but I'm pretty sure there's a conversation actually before the game because I thought he was tight with the puck. Like, I thought he was squeezing it and he wanted it to go. We wanted to stay here, all those good things. Part of it was, you know, I want you to work way harder when you don't have the puck, but when you do, you can relax a little bit, right? Just, you're a good player, you're going to score. And then it didn't happen that for him that night, but yeah, those guys would have seen an awful lot of video early on about what's good. Just do this, and then relax. That's all you got to do is this. Right? It's like your kids' homework. Just do your homework, and you're going to do great. Right? Eat your vegetables, and you're going to grow. We got the whole life experience going in here, right?
Well, I missed most of your first answer on the schedule question, but I'm wondering, with the compressed game schedule you had December, January, February, did that impact
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. I think we come into the year and we know what we're looking at. We've lost 4 of 6 defensemen, and that we're going to have to play a fairly tight game. And we've run into first periods like that. We've come out, you know. And then I also don't think that necessarily going out with an open first period is really good for us at that point in time. And realistically, you don't get to pick your best period in a game and say, hey, why don't you just do that for 3? Because then we would outshoot teams, you know, 60-4, and we'd say, well, just we're that good. We're probably not there. So we've got inexperience on our blue line, and sometimes you become who, you know, you play a month or two and you get into that rhythm, and it's hard to get out of it. It's not necessarily a terrible place for us to be. Like the rhythm that we're in terms of our periods now far more than I liked our rhythm last year. Because right around November, we got banged up a little bit, and our goalies had some tough third periods. And that's something that we hadn't done here in the past, and our third periods weren't particularly good. We would have had more leads, right, with a little more power on the back end, but we didn't handle that third period like so. I don't mind breaking even in the first period with this group. Builds confidence, still a very young forward group, and then coming out and pushing. We've been a good third period team.
So when you give them a day off like yesterday, is that a surprise to them? And what kind of benefit do you see?
So Brian, one of us getting in trouble here? Well, like, we had some guys on the ice yesterday, right? So we just didn't bring everybody down. Did I just roast you?
Under the bus.
Let me see if I can find reverse.
No regulars.
So the injured players, the IR skate, and I didn't say you couldn't come down, so we had 2 other guys come down and shoot pucks. All right, and then we had a corporate event last night, like at 4:30, 5 o'clock, kind of a little dinner meet and greet thing. And so that was enough of a day for me, for those guys. So just so you know, tomorrow, after the game, sorry, Saturday, check with Brownie on the schedule.
So you can do more of that.
Well, that's an option, right? If we're running minutes, like, conditioning is not an issue at this time of year, and we do have a whole bunch of guys that if we were full practice in the day after game, there might be eight guys not on the ice just for let's get ahead of something that's bothering them, right? Every team's like that. They've got half their teams dealing with something. So skating on that the second day, the first of 2 days, you won't see that.
Coach, it looks like the offside rule is going to change, barring something crazy. Your opinion on that?
Truly, Tim, I don't know if I have one yet till I see it. Okay. Like, there's a decision that needs to be made. Right now, it's whether the puck is over the blue line and whether the foot is on the line. And then the next decision will be, is the foot breaking the plane? In my mind, that's still a decision that has to be made, and we'll be getting the rulers out to decide whether, you know, we've got a vertical plane now that we're dealing with. I don't know, because I haven't seen enough video where this is a better. If it's better, I'm all for it. Anything scores. I'd love to see high stick goals count, no matter how high they're stuck. Fire that one out there to divert you from your original question. No, that one, what's that? Because why not? So whether the puck is for, I get it. We don't want people get hit in the face, right? But we have a penalty for that, and people get hit in the face anyway. And I guess there's the danger that guys would be swinging up here. That's a possibility. But there's also the danger then that you would take a four-minute penalty and put your team down. So players will always make the adjustment. I think they should all count. No, not that one. Because you'll be, hey, I was kicking at the puck, and you'll find yourself in some misfortunes standing in front of the net. No, absolutely not kicking. But high-sticking, I don't think there should be a rule for that one. Fortunately, nobody cares.